And then when you jumped on that security guard's back and you were yelling in his ear, CIA put a chip in my brain. I was laughing so hard I almost shit my pants.
Almost.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Gwintelligence Podcast. I am David Marver of Change the Padres, joined live by H.J. Preller.
I'm here. Yeah, this is a very exciting moment for all of us, Marver. And it's also the first time we've had an audience, I believe.
Yeah, a direct audience. Yeah. We've had people onlookers looking at us and Hacksaw.
Mostly Hacksaw.
Mostly probably Hacksaw. Who's that old?
Just Hacksaw stuffing his face with fish and chips.
Oh, I forgot he got fish and chips.
Just, of course, it's the most Hacksaw meal there could be, right? Which I paid for also.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
But yeah, so we're live at Ruler Brewing here in Carlsbad.
Our unofficial brewery home.
Unofficial brewery home. And we do have a crowd. I'm sure we'll get them on the mic here in a little bit.
The mic's actually not going to pick that up now that we have we have actual equipment here this time.
They were clapping. You couldn't probably hear it. But yeah. Let's just jump straight into it. Fernando Tatis Jr. got hurt yesterday. I haven't seen an update on it, so you might have to update me on this, because this morning I've been looking at houses. But
that's a humble brag.
It is a humble brag. But he basically hurt himself sliding, and wrist injury, hand injury.
Thumb injury. Possible ligament damage, but they, of course, have not done an MRI yet.
I think it takes a couple days to actually do that, though, doesn't it? I mean, I've heard myself playing soccer before, and
Other teams seem to magically be able to do it right away. But, you know, without turning into Dr. Gwintelligence here, do you think it's weird at how much this team dives headfirst all the time? Like, is that weird to you?
I think it's normal. I think it's weird that players still do it.
Do you think
they
it's weird
know
that,
the injury risks and how many millions of dollars they're, you know, playing for, especially Tatis? Like, He's the type of prospect where he could potentially earn $400 million over the life of his contract.
I mean, our other most expensive asset, Eric Hosmer, I mean, he's dove into first base like 4 or 5 times this year.
Yeah, but he's already getting paid. So for him, it doesn't quite as matter as much once you're getting paid. But for the minor leaguers, I don't understand why you just don't teach it. Just don't slide into first. Like, just, it's really easy to disincentivize behavior. You can just not play them the next game if they dive into first or dive into second head first. And
I mean, not to say I don't think he was diving into first in this case, right?
Yeah,
but did you enjoy Twitter's reaction to it of mass suicide, Heaven's Gate style?
I tend not to overreact on these sort of things, and Potter's Twitter goes nuts for everything. Like, it's not even just. So it's hard for me to gauge a reaction correctly just because they go crazy for everything. So. Tatis injury, they're going to go nuts. If it's someone giving up 2 runs in the 7th inning, they're going to go nuts. Like, so for me, I don't really take too much stock into it. I did, however, like the UT's injury prognosis on it, where they basically told everyone that he's going to be perfectly fine and it's going to have no repercussions on his career.
Yeah, I should actually pull up the text, but this is, of course, is from number one beat writer Kevin Acey, where he was assured by unnamed anonymous sources that there'd be no lasting damage from this. There are some examples in the past, even from the Padres, of where a thumb injury like that did cause lasting damage, where it did things like sap your power.
Or at the very least, the UT reported that it was doing that, like Yonder Alonso, yeah. Will Myers, but suddenly if it's Fernando Tatis Jr., nothing to worry about going forward. Now, I don't think it's going to be much of an issue.
I don't think so either.
There's just a chance, right, that it either it gets rehabbed incorrectly, it gets diagnosed incorrectly, because the Padres tend to do that fairly frequently, or they bring him back too early, or, you know, any number of issues. It could just be weaker going forward, and then it's more susceptible to injury. Any of those things. This is also why I advocated for throwing at Anthony Rizzo's hands, because it's one of those injuries that's like, it's nothing debilitating in life, but it is a baseball long-term concern.
You said to throw at his hands because it wouldn't hurt him. You're like, it's harmless just to throw at his hands.
No, absolutely not. I said because it has the p- potential to knock you out of baseball for a long
period. Yes, it hurts. I've gotten hit on the hand by a slider. Yeah. It hurts a lot.
Absolutely, but it's not like you're throwing at his head, which could potentially impact his life off the field.
I don't know. I couldn't lift a bench press bar for like 6 months afterwards from when I was hit on the hand. It's pretty major.
Yeah. But in any case...
I would say let's not get too crazy here. I mean, there is an effect, right? A lot of people, I think Fernando Tatis is like this finished, polished product. Call him up at the start of next year. You've pointed out a few times that there are things in his game that need work, and it would be nice if he had worked through the second half of the season to kind of work some of those issues out, right?
Yes. I mean, the main thing is just a strikeout rate. Like, that has to come down in Major League Baseball. Either that or he's going to have like, the highest hard-hit line drive contact rate in baseball if he wants to have a 350-plus OBP in Major League Baseball. But he's improved on that over the year, which is why it would be nice to let him have, you know, August and September in Double A, where they're going to be calling up high A pitchers that he's just going to feast on,
yeah,
and just really pad those numbers. So it is a bummer. On the plus side, and I put this on Twitter, it does mean that he's likely going to start in the minor leagues next year. You think that they probably want to season him a little bit in El Paso?
Wasn't he going to anyways?
Maybe. I mean, it depends. Like, what are they going to do at shortstop next year without him?
Who cares?
I don't
play Dusty Coleman? It doesn't matter.
I don't disagree with you, but the team itself is likely going
to
sign.
I'm already resigned to them signing Galvis again.
You think they're? I don't think they'll sign Galvis.
I don't think they should, but I think they will.
I don't think they will.
And I also think De Los Santos doing well increases the chances that they try to re-sign him.
So I think Galvis will probably get a multi-year deal. It'll be like a 2 or 3 year deal, and I don't.
Oh,
think
you
the
mean
Padres
like the one they handed out to Kaz Makita
yeah,
and
Clayton
Richard
yeah.
and Craig Stammen?
Yeah, those are fucking stupid. But
so I mean, they never do that.
I just don't think they're going to do that when they. I mean, Tatis is obviously on the precipice of getting called up. I just think that's even beneath their level of intelligence to sign a shortstop to a multi-year deal now, unless they don't think he's a shortstop, which
well,
is possible.
As an example. There was talk, and it came from guys like AC, who I assume heard it from the team, that part of the reason Urias wasn't called up or hasn't been called up, at least in the beginning, was to save on service time. So they are – it is weird how sometimes they're sensitive about that, and then other times they just run it through a shredder, like with Manuel Margot and with Austin Hedges. But Tatis, out of all of those players – has the potential to make the most money out of arbitration.
Absolutely. The Urias one's interesting, too, because it's like they're way past the Super 2 deadline. Why is he not up
well,
now?
Because they didn't count on him not hitting as well. Also.
I think they probably maybe perceived that Perella, Spangenberg, Asuaje could still get them something maybe, too. I don't know.
Well, didn't you hear from Padres' Twitter that they're just playing Perella so they can build his trade value up?
Non-existent trade value that
everyone
he's never
loves
had.
Watching stupid, stupid goddamn Jose Perella play.
Yeah.
Hey, on your way out of here, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but there's a Jose Perella jersey at the Encinitas TJ Maxx if you're interested.
Yeah.
So.
Is it on sale for negative $7? Or
they actually peg it to his war, so it's okay. It changes every day, but generally goes down.
I could use it just to strip off the letters and put it on other jerseys to change the names of other ones I bought. Like my Upton one could be Jupton or Pupton, I guess is what it would be.
I mean, I thought about buying it as a bit, right? It'd be a pretty good bit
to have
it's
a Perella
it's like
jersey.
When I bought an Amarista jersey.
Well, I do the same thing in pick up basketball. I know we try not to talk about it anymore, but
save that for our pick up basketball corner.
All right. Pick up basketball corner. All right. I buy all the clearance jerseys from NBA.com, like the jerseys, and play in them.
Wait.
Like, so I have like a Paul George Indiana one.
Wait, you play in the jerseys?
No, not jerseys.
But both options
But they have to be funny.
You know, so both options are sad and pathetic.
I don't know about that. I would say half the people where I play are all wearing jerseys or shirts.
Are you playing with nerds?
No.
Losers?
I mean, there definitely are some nerds. There probably are a couple losers.
Spazzes?
No spazzes.
Okay.
There used to be one spazz, and he got kicked out.
Because wearing a uniform is embarrassing. It's like wearing the band shirt.
It's a jersey. It's
no,
not a
it's
uniform.
They're both embarrassing.
Really? How about it's an Andrew Bynum Sixers?
I should point out, I'm talking to someone, literally an adult, who's wearing a jersey out in public right
That's
now.
That's true.
He's not at a game. He's not anything. He's wearing an Eric Hosmer jersey out in public.
I have no other reason to wear it. I'm not going to games. So when would I wear it?
You don't. That's the whole thing. Why would you wear it? It's embarrassing, and you're a grown up. My 3-year-old can wear her Andrew Cashner jersey.
That's fine. But. I enjoy it. At least for basketball, I do the bits. So I have the Andrew Bynum 76ers jersey, which is fucking hilarious because he never even played.
Yeah.
I've got a Darko Milicic Detroit Pistons one.
That's pretty good. That's a good
couple
one,
other
yeah.
good bits. Nikola Skidishvili the Knicks pick out of Georgia, not the state, but the country.
So you just
who
get
played
the white
like
players?
Eight games. No, I got a bunch. Okay. Well, I mean, Andrew Bynum's obviously very African American, but
I don't know.
It tends to be that the white players are worse at basketball. Yes, yeah, so I ended up getting them because they're better bits.
All right. Well, yeah. We lost Cavs for days on this episode. He's tuned out.
Yep, he's clicked away. So now back to baseball talk. So another injury happened.
And this one bothers me a lot more, to be honest. Like, Tatis is going to be fine. It's like his non-throwing hand. Like, he's fine. But Margot hurt his wrist, and wrist injuries, they suck. They really suck if they're bad.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it live. I only saw it, like, maybe 3 hours after it happened on Twitter. And I thought it was another overreaction, but then when I went back and saw it, it doesn't look good. Granted, we heard someone who's here with us live was just saying that the x-rays came back negative.
Is that positive or is that negative?
I don't know.
What does that mean? That's negative that there's a break, or the news is negative and I should be sad?
The news is positive is the way that I've interpreted the statement that I've heard.
But the diagnosis is negative.
The diagnosis is negative.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be good. I haven't seen that corroborated on Twitter or anything, but
although it should be pointed out that X-rays measure bones,
not
and so
ligaments, right?
He could be very hurt without having a bone broken.
You might argue that a bone being broken could be better.
I mean, I would argue it is. But yeah. If only there was some kind of machine that could look under the skin at muscles and ligaments.
There was this thing that I did research on in college called a magnetic resonance imaging machine. Shortened version MRI.
That's amazing.
It is. It is. Basically, it shines radiation at you and it aligns the electrons and it gives you a picture of what's going on inside the body.
Yeah.
And you can actually tell if the ligaments or tendons and other parts of the body are hurt or if there are floating objects in there.
So, like, it does that.
The Padres should try this.
It does that with sorcery or?
No. Just basic science.
Oh. Okay. You don't need to find a magician for
very
this.
Very basic science.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just
they even entrusted me with one of these machines in college when I should not have been entrusted with very much of anything.
I mean, like, it's not the same as an MRI, but, like, I fell off a truck a few weeks ago. Like, I was loading one of those Home Depot rental flatbeds with patio furniture. And you know how, like, big boxes have a hole cut in it for a handle?
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, moving the box around with it, and then it tore, and I fell off the side of it and slammed my head into the pavement at a Costco, at the Carlsbad Costco, blacked out for some unknown amount of time, got a concussion, obviously, went to the emergency room, and somehow they were able to take me immediately in for a CAT scan within, like, 40 minutes of checking in at the hospital. It's amazing
it's
that they were able to do that.
Good health insurance right there. Yeah. Solid health insurance.
Solid, yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad that I'm receiving more careful care than.
So, how much are you planning on suing Costco for?
For their faulty cardboard boxes.
For the faulty cardboard box, and obviously not having soft pillows on
their
pavement.
Their pavement was too hard.
It was very. It sounds very hard. Yeah,
it's very much so.
Non-adaptive.
Yeah. So Margot is hurt. We don't know any details. The game's rained out today, so we won't see or hear any broadcasters talking about it. Are you concerned by this?
Because
he's certainly, I like how we've removed him as part of the first wave. Like
The
first wave stopped working out that great, so they were like, oh, that's zero wave. And now we're waiting for first wave coming soon.
Yeah, I would say that all of the guys in the first wave have been anywhere from slightly disappointing to very disappointing. I would put Margot as one of the least disappointing of that group.
Right.
I think that for the most part, he started this year off very slowly, but he's been playing him a lot better. It would have been nice if they just kept him in the leadoff spot all year and gave him extra at-bats because he would have come out of that slump quicker, presumably. I look at him as a definite piece going forward. I mean, the defensive metrics for him are still very positive. He's obviously a good base runner. He's still really young. I mean, he's younger than all the other outfield options. So it is a big blow in the sense that he was playing well, and now he's going to have to come back from an injury and then get back into the swing of things again. But
What if he's out the whole season? Those wrist injuries,
possible,
they linger.
But honestly, I think they're going to be bad next year anyways, and that actually might be good if he's out for the year. I know that's a kind of a morbid way of looking at it, but if it nets us another good draft pick as a result, I'm not going to be too disappointed with that. It also gives us an opportunity to play, you know, Renfroe a little bit more, play Jankowski a little bit more, play some of the other guys we need to get a
See Will Myers in center field again.
That's going to be terrible. But, yeah, I mean, get a better gauge on some of these guys that – we need to get a gauge on because there is a 40-man roster crunch coming up, which we'll get a we'll talk about in a little bit. Yeah. So more data on some of these other guys. I don't think I needed more data on Margot. Like,
don't we, though? So that was my next question. I think a lot of fans are like, well, the only sure things on this team are Margot, Myers, and Hosmer. And I don't know if Margot's a sure thing. Is he? I mean, I like him.
I think he's a starter.
We don't not like him.
I think the question of whether he's a top-of-the-lineup type guy or whether he's a seventh or eighth hitter that's a good defender, I think that's an open question. But I think he's a starting major leaguer. I don't think there's much of a question about that. With Jankowski, I think there is an open question about that.
Well, yeah,
he's probably not a starter.
He's probably not.
Same with Renfro. And so I think getting more data on them is fine. They could have done it anyways. It would have been a little bit more tough with Myers. But, you know, I think it's not like they don't have options. It's not like they're going to quadruple A players
right.
and playing, I don't know, Jeff Francoeur, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, there's that. Yeah, so for me, it's kind of like with Tatis, where I think he could have used the second half to...
I agree with that.
And let's be honest here. The Padres have actually been pretty remarkably lucky with injuries. I mean, they had the Myers lingering injury, but their pitching staff has come out fairly unscathed after the Lamet injury, and that's good. And especially when you look down in the minors, there have been very few key players that have lost time this year.
Yeah.
So, I guess it was about time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have been pretty fortunate with injuries this year. I haven't really thought about that too much, but
Hosmer only missed a little bit of time.
Galvis has played almost the whole season.
That's actually a negative.
But still, imagine how negative it would have been if he got hurt. I mean, what would they have played at shortstop?
Urias.
I don't even know if that makes sense, to be honest. That might be bad.
It doesn't matter.
But I'd rather watch Freddie Galvis, I guess, than whoever they would have brought off the scrap heap. Not that that means too much this year. It's not like I'm even really watching. I am watching, but not like actively, fuck, the Padres game's on. I have to sit down and watch the Padres game watching. So, but yeah, I mean, I think there'll be the Margot injury. It is more troubling than the Tatis injury from the standpoint of it looks like it could be a longer term injury. Obviously, Tatis is a more important player going forward, so you got to be concerned about both of them. But at least with Margot, I understand that there are, you know, benefits that come out of this. You get more playing time of guys that you needed to see that I've been clamoring to see all year.
Right.
That we haven't because we're on pace to give, you know, Jose Perella 600 plate appearances. So.
That's really important, though. It's really important that we get him those plate appearances, yeah. Right? Well, so kind of tied to Jose Perella, the trade deadline's coming up. Obviously, the biggest piece is gone. Mm-hmm. I would argue we probably don't have any pieces left that could fetch a top 100 prospect. So.
Mm-hmm. About that, it's borderline.
Maybe, but kind of probably not really. But
it's borderline.
Yeah. So, I mean, should we care at this point? Like, does it matter if Tyson Ross? I mean, obviously there's no reason not to trade Tyson Ross, right? But of course, there would have to be someone that wanted him and would give up something and whatever. But the return's not going to be great.
No, it's not
for most of these guys.
So. I look at it, and we talked about it a little bit last podcast. I think Kirby Yates is the next big piece to drop, and I think he can get a top 100 prospect. Granted, he hasn't thrown that many innings. He hasn't done it as long. His stat line is a little fluky in the sense that he's only given up one home run this year, and last year he gave up 10. And I think some of the more savvy teams, which are more likely to be the teams in the pennant race, will look at that and recognize that. But I still think a desperate team with a trade deadline, especially if any team in the next month has an injury to their relief pitchers, they might be willing to give us a borderline top 100 for Kirby Yates, or at least maybe two or three guys that might be one of those AJ scouting coup guys, like the Estuary Ruiz last year or Matt Strom, former fringe top 100 guys. Obviously, I think Tyson Ross's ship has somewhat sailed. He's had a bunch of bad starts. He's now like towards the end of all starters in baseball in important categories. I mean, he's actually below Andrew Kashner, which... that's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
And Jason Hamill and a lot of these starting pitching categories. Like, what are you trading for him for? Be a fifth starter at the end of the year
playoff
for
teams
you?
Playoff teams don't need that.
I know, exactly. So
Tyson Ross doesn't make the Red Sox playoff roster.
Granted, I would be fine. Honestly, I would be fine if the trade deadline comes and goes and he's not dealt, and the August deadline comes and goes and he's not dealt. I mean, I'm fine even waving him at that point just to get some of these guys that you have in AAA, like Brett Kennedy and Andrew Lockett, major league innings, just to understand a little bit more about what they are.
Especially Brett Kennedy. I mean, I don't know if you've looked at his stat. I mean, there's literally nothing else he could do to prove his worth to this team. He's pitching in a launching pad. He's putting up pretty decent numbers. He's moved right through the system really quickly. And I get it, he's not on the 40-man roster, but we're giving starts to Clayton Richard.
I know.
And your point on Clayton Richard has never been more true than last night, where he got rocked and didn't eat innings, because that's usually the thing. They're like, well, he gets rocked, but, you know, he still eats 6 or 7 innings, and that's really important for a pitching staff.
He averages, like, exactly 6, which is okay. But it's not like – it's one thing if you have, like, R.A. Dickey, who sucks now, but at least he's going to be able to throw you 7 or 8 innings pretty frequently, like, as a real innings eater. That argument I can buy, but if it's, like – the argument is, like, he's, like, an average major league innings eater. Like, we have guys that can do that. Well, I mean, we're running, like, why have a 14-man bullpen if you're not...
If you're not going to... Yeah.
Like, why carry 3 catchers? Like, if you really need those extra innings, why not carry another bullpen
guy? Well, and the thing with Richard is, a lot of those innings are... He gets rocked, right? He gives up 5 or 6 runs. And then they're like, well, the game's lost. We might as well leave him in until the 7th inning. And it's like, well, you could do that with any pitcher, right?
Right,
like,
I know.
They're physically capable of throwing 7 innings.
Yeah.
It's just that usually when they suck, you pull them out. But
right.
For some reason with Clayton Richard, you suck, and it's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. It's not like Brian Mitchell can't throw 110 pitches.
Yeah, he can.
He might only get through 4.5 innings on 110 pitches, but he can still do it.
Yeah, they'll get. And what's it matter? Have him throw 170 innings, right?
I know. So...
hey, but he's hurt.
I think
he's really hurt. We shouldn't make fun of Brian Mitchell right now.
That's true.
He's hurt.
He's very injured. Very injured.
Yeah.
What's he on the DL for?
I don't think they ever said.
Poor performance.
Like,
wounded ego.
Yeah. Disappointment.
Disappointment. I would say depression, but that's a touchy subject. But anyways, so I'm looking forward to them clearing up starting pitching spots, because I do think they should get those guys in the rotation. Another thing I can see them doing is I could see AJ Ellis getting moved. I don't think he'd fetch too much, but he is having a pretty decent year. He is a veteran guy.
Who's going to trade for AJ? Who's going to give up anything for AJ Ellis?
I think you could see a team part with
nobody believes he's a 800 OPS hitter, right?
But he actually has a pretty decent track record as a hitter. This isn't that out of the ordinary.
He does.
I don't think this is that out of the ordinary for him. I'm sure it's inflated.
Yes, of course it's out of the ordinary.
I'm sure it's a little inflated, but it's not like he's like a career 220 hitter that just happened to have like a good 150 at bats. He's had some good years in LA before. I could see him
10 years ago.
No, like maybe 3 years ago or something.
He's not that good. Here's the thing.
I'm not saying he's going to get anything meaningful.
Here's the thing Padres fans do. They're like, oh, this guy's he's so valuable when it's a guy that can't even start on the goddamn Padres. And so why do we think some playoff team is going to, A, give up something, and, B, play someone who barely makes it on the third worst team in the major league?
So AJ Ellis, though, is a career 340 on-base percentage catcher. The last 2 years have not been very favorable for him, but 3 years ago in L.A. in 217 plate appearances, 1.5 war, 355 on-base percentage.
Oh, yeah, we should value that year. We should value that year a lot more than the last 2.5.
If you just look at him in general, I think he's an above-average offensive catcher. Obviously, he's old and he can't play that frequently. But some team in the pennant run, maybe a team that suffers a catching injury, might consider him for a month. I think you could. I'm not saying he'd ever get you a top 100 prospect or anything, but you might be able to get like a low A flyer.
He seems like a real August guy. He's a classic Towers August.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at the roster in terms of who do we not need. I mean, he's 37 years old. Like, what? What's the point? It's not even like the Padres don't have catching options either. Obviously, Mejia they just acquired, but Brett Nicklaus is having a good year in AAA. He could get called up, and like so, it's one of those things.
This
where
is
if
an
you
aside.
Look,
actually, it came up with the Mejia trade, but I was listening to a bunch of the emergency podcasts, and I hear things like, you know, it's so amazing that we have all this catching depth, and then you can do this with any position where you're like, it's amazing how much first base depth this system has, and then all they do is list every minor leaguer that plays that position. Yeah. and then they're like I mean, yeah, there's depth, there's literally players that play those positions. Yeah. In those levels, but that doesn't mean anything, right? Like,
right.
It's like, oh wow, Blake Hunt, like they always include Blake Hunt, who just got demoted from Tri-Cities back to the Arizona League, who I saw play in Spokane a couple weeks ago.
He was a comp pick last year, a second-round pick last
third
year? Third round,
okay. Whatever he is.
He was an above-slot signee, though, right?
Because he was a high schooler. He played in, like, a tiny school that didn't play good competition. He wasn't on the circuit. He was, but that's all they do. They just list all these people, and they include guys like Brett Nicholas, or and they're like,
I'm not
you know,
saying
Major
he has a future,
depth,
but
like Rafi Lopez, and like I'm like, what goddamn team doesn't have a catcher at every level of their team that you can just list their name and say that's a bunch of depth?
I know.
Right?
I mean, Brett Nicholas was born in 1988, so it's not like he's a future piece, but. He's hitting 300 in El Paso. Granted, it's El Paso.
Marvin, he's just part of our incredible depth at the catching position.
They did find a way to trade Rene Rivera, and they've found a way to trade some of these old vets before if they're able to show they have some value. So, I mean, at the very least, does Brett Nicholas make more long-term sense than AJ Ellis? Probably.
Team control.
Maybe. I don't know.
A little bit younger.
Guess.
I mean, I don't know if backup catchers really need
I don't
anymore.
Want team control of AJ Ellis. He can leave. It's fine. Like... another thing that gets overrated sometimes for some players is the team control aspect.
Yeah, for guys that are like never going to hit free agency.
Yeah, like if he's here for five more years, just stab a piece of glass into my cheek. Like,
I think as soon as Brett Nicholas hits arbitration, is going to get $1 million a year. They're going to be like, nah, let's go with the major league minimum guy here.
Yeah.
So.
Look, I mean,
but
I think Ellis could
get you something.
I think some people will get traded right between here and let's say the waiver deadline, end of August, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't think the return is going to be – I mean, Padres Twitter will inflate the return because it's always like, hey, the guy we just traded totally blows, and the guy we just traded for is totally awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
– Is Myers really completely off the market?
No, he's not getting traded.
I don't think he's going to either, but is he really off the market? Like,
Everyone should always be on the market.
I agree with that.
This is a life tip, right? Like, you've changed jobs quite a bit. I've changed some jobs before. Like, you should no matter how much you like your job, you should always be listening to other offers. You should never close off the possibility. Right?
I agree with that. 100% agree with that. And you should always have your resume ready.
Always.
Yeah, absolutely.
And always be ready to network. Like, you shouldn't close yourself off.
Yeah.
Right? You should always be networking. And it's kind of the same, I think, with Major League GMs. Like,
yeah. But I guess...
if someone wants Tatis, you listen, right?
What are the reasons that you
don't just trade him? But if someone's going to trade you Vlad Guerrero for him, like, I think I
prefer Tatis over Vlad Guerrero.
Fine, they'll throw in Solarte.
Yeah,
we get Solarte
sure.
back also.
All right, great. Yeah, I agree to the trade. So I agree. I'm just trying to go through reasons why they wouldn't trade Will Myers. Like, what makes them not? Besides our intuition that they're just not going to trade him, what would be a reason not to trade him? Because he actually does play a position where. I mean, he doesn't really even play a position, to be honest.
There's no Padres reason.
He's kind of struck. Right, there's no Padres reason why they would have to hold on to him. Even the extension's not a reason to hold on to him. Brad Hand was just extended.
Right.
Jed Jerko was extended. There's a lot of examples of guys who they've extended over the years that they've traded. So, to me, it's not – I don't know if I look at that as really a reason. And he's playing well. He is playing well.
Yeah, he's playing really well. I mean, so, I'm not saying that there's a reason to hold him. I just don't think, realistically, he's going to be traded. He just doesn't come off to me as like a deadline target.
Teams tend not
guy.
To like to add long-term future salary at the trade deadline.
Looking for like that's the thing Padres Twitter I think misunderstands sometimes. But teams want a rental a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They're making a run. They're unsure if their competitive window is closing. They want to win now.
Yeah.
So that, and that's kind of a thing with like Tyson Ross, where maybe that would be what rescues his value.
Yeah.
So we talked a little about rosters and stuff, and I wrote something a couple months ago that you failed to retweet or send out to our our followers, but about the Rule 5 draft, a roster crunch.
It's a good article, by the way. I'm reading it right now.
Finally. So you're reading it 6 weeks later.
So basically the article, and it's really just going through the Padres' 40-man roster and also their minor league roster and figuring out who needs to be added to the 40-man roster before the start of next year in order to avoid being part of the 40-man draft or the Rule 5 draft.
And we can go through the list and kind of see what you think of the possibilities.
Absolutely.
So the guys that are eligible are Luis Urias, Jacob Nix, Anderson Espinosa, Chris Paddock, Trey Wingenter, Brett Kennedy, Michael Geddes, Austin Allen, Edward Olivares, Pedro Avila, Ty France, Gerardo Reyes, Jerry Keel, Brad Zunica, Hansel Rodriguez.
That's 15 guys. That's a lot of guys.
There's more. Those are only the ones I thought were semi-notable.
That is a lot of guys. That's even more than I thought. I knew we had a crunch coming up, but that is
but,
a lot
I mean,
of,
there's a lot of
guys.
There's a lot of garbage on the roster, right, that could be cut to save it. And that's usually the argument, but you still need to field a 25-man roster in the majors, and you're not going to add Hansel Rodriguez and then leave the gap open in the majors. Like, you still need to fill that with someone, whether it's...
Yeah, so there's definitely... there are definitely some names on here that make sense to add just because they're going to be playing for you next year, right? So Urias will obviously be playing for you next year. Nix could play for you next year. Wynn Jenter could play for you next year. Kennedy could conceivably play for you next year. Austin Allen could play for you next year. Even Ty France can maybe play for you next year. Some of these guys I feel like have no chance. Jerry Keel, I don't think he's going to – because I don't even know if he'd get Rule 5 drafted. That's the other aspect of this. Is it's not just
– and if they'll hold him.
It's not just
drafted and
need.
Held.
It has to be on a major league roster for a whole year.
Which is generally a reliever. Generally relievers.
Relievers are a good one.
And
back
then quad A
tend to be
quad A guys and
guys that you can pinch run. They've tended to stay on there, like Everett Cabrera.
Right.
Shane Victorino, although we sent him back. I mean, those are the types of guys that you tend to see kept.
To be honest, Gerardo Reyes is kind of the kind of guy that gets taken. A guy that throws 199.
Yeah.
That's in Double A. Has been around a while. He's maybe the guy you take for the physical tools, but.
And then he throws eight innings for you and gives up 32 hits, and you send him back to the original
team. Exactly. Yeah, he's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So
he might get selected, but I think he'll end up back with the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, there's sure things for sure, right? Anderson Espinosa will get added.
Obviously, Chris Paddock will obviously get added.
Yeah. I think Wynn Jenter is kind of a mystery. He's walking almost six guys per nine.
Yeah.
Incredible velocity, I guess, but he's basically Robert Stock with terrible control.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're rocking a 14-man bullpen, you can just stick someone in the end there and give them meaningless innings.
Yeah.
I think he's a good candidate for that.
To me, Brett Kennedy should have been called up already because you have to add him to the 40-man anyways if you want to keep him. Mm-hmm. So you might as well add him now and evaluate him to see if you want to keep him.
And don't forget, last year they didn't protect Framil Reyes, and he wasn't even picked. Well, I know that he had a ham injury.
Twitter was like, well, he had a hamate injury. But, like, if it was me, I'd want to take a guy that was injured because you can stash him on the DL for like, half the time that you have him.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But I guess, although we need to protect these guys, a lot of teams do have issues. So, I mean, it has to be a player with compelling reason to hold on to. And when you're talking about guys with compelling reason, it's guys with, like, good raw tools.
Like right? Michael Geddes.
Sure.
He's actually a guy that I could see getting taken, but I really wouldn't care because there's nothing more painful than watching a Michael Geddes at bat.
I think Avila and Oliveras will likely be.
I've seen a lot of Oliveras.
I mean, they're both.
I'd have some issues if they kept him. If they chose to protect him over some other players.
Okay. I mean, but how much?
And then Avila has fallen back. Everyone got excited because he was striking out like 12 or 13 an inning last. Per nine last year, but he's fallen off quite a bit on the K's, so he's actually a question mark for me.
I mean, if you look at the 40-man roster, I'm just going to name guys, and you can confirm with me if you think they should be guys that get left off for one of the names we just mentioned. Colton Brewer.
I couldn't care less.
Phil Hughes.
I hope he's not around.
Clayton Richard.
He'll be here, but I...
Tyson Ross.
Well, he's a free agent.
AJ Ellis.
Gone, free agent.
Rafi Lopez.
Couldn't really care. Well, no, not anymore. Not with Mejia.
Jose Perella.
Is he even going to make it to the waiver deadline before they DFA him?
That's actually a pretty good question.
So I've actually got some interesting ones for you. You have been the most outspoken Corey Spangenberg fan. He's going into arbitration two. He's probably going to make $3-4 million, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you non-tender him? Because I non-tender him. You've got Urias coming up.
I mean, I think he'll get more than that on a free agent deal.
But do you keep him?
I mean, he will not start. That's a fair question. The reason I've liked him so much is because I think he does have raw talent. And actually, last year he was like a two-win above replacement player. So it's not like
He's not going to play.
I agree with that. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, he's in a doghouse and doesn't play. Granted, some of that's been injury problems. He's been injured a lot of the time. To the point where his Zips projection is like 200 plate appearances. And Zips always projects like 500 plate appearances for almost anyone. So, I mean, I could see him.
I see him as the number one non-tender candidate, to be honest.
Potentially. By the way, some other guys I forgot. Alex Dickerson.
Gone.
Javi Guerra.
Pride. You mean you forgot to mention he's the pride of East County, Alex Dickerson.
Pride of East County. Javi Guerra.
I think he's gone.
Alan Cordoba.
I personally don't see a reason to keep Cordoba.
I don't either.
Do you remember? We talked about how fun Cordoba Mania was
for that one
month.
Now we have the, was it the Cordoba effect? What was the term we
called
it?
Yeah, the Cordoba effect.
The Cordoba effect. Yeah. And how about
Torrance?
Torrens.
I couldn't care less about Torrens.
I couldn't either, but he has at least some positive scouting reports on him recently.
Does he?
He does.
Have you watched him?
I have not. I've not watched him except for one game live at Petco.
I sighed. I just sighed really loudly. But
who else? Colin Rea? I mean, I imagine he'll probably stay on the 40-man.
You think?
I think.
What
he'll
are they
going to
do with him? Like, wouldn't you be upset if they gave starts to Colin Rea over Brett Kennedy? Let's say Brett Kennedy. I'd be upset about that.
Really? I don't know, Rea.
Colin Rea was always he was always a marginal prospect, and at the time we were so thirsty that a guy that threw 94, we were like, oh man, he throws so hard.
But he might actually be a fifth starter, though.
We have 19 future fifth starters.
Don't get me wrong. If they waive Colin Rea, I'm not going to complain.
All right. Handle it comparatively. Would you rather have Colin Rea on the 40 man, or would you rather have Pedro Avila on the 40 man?
Right. Obviously. Yeah.
But this is the comparison. Like, Colin Rea's such a marginal. He's like the 40th best player on the 40 man. Not really. Yeah. Perella's the 40th best man on the 40 man. But
no, I don't think that's fair. I don't think Perella's the 40th best of those guys. He's probably like the 33rd or 35th or something. But he's also very expendable.
He's ahead of Rafi Lopez.
In terms of value, that's different. Yeah. In terms of actual ability on the field, that's another question.
So any of these other guys, I mean,
Cash Makita, Brian Mitchell, well, those guys will get waived.
Makita's on a two-year major league contract. He'll be around.
No, I think he might get cut.
I don't think he's going to get cut. I think they're going to think they can fix him.
He's really bad, though.
Hey, do you remember when we called it very openly that a guy that throws 81 miles an hour has a very difficult time succeeding in the major leagues?
Yeah.
And everyone else was like, you don't understand. He's so fun. He's so fun to watch.
I love when Bill Center.
I'm almost certain.
He read me his stats, and I think Bill Center tweeted at me his stats in Japan or whatever. And there are like five relievers on his same roster in Japan with better stats.
I'm going to point out that one of the members of the Peanut Gallery over here, 5.5 Eric, was one of them who frequently pointed out how fun he was. He's so fun to watch. Cass Makita, he's so fun. I just love watching. I get so excited when he comes in a game in spring training. He's so fun.
He just admitted he's wrong and apologizes to everyone.
He's hashtag baseball fun personified.
Yeah.
If only someone had mentioned that 81-mile-per-hour fastballs are not a way to win in the major leagues.
I mean, I would be excited if I was throwing an 81.
But you know they're not
going to
cut bait on him. Like, they don't admit mistakes like that very often.
They might, though. I mean, it depends on.
Here's what it'll be.
He's obviously going to get called up in September, and if he is just as bad as he's been, I think there's a chance that they don't keep him next year. It is a small investment. It's a sunk cost.
Can't you envision already the AC article next spring where it's like, yeah, the Padres really value his veteran expertise. He's been in the Tokyo World Series or whatever. And, you know, he really worked hard this offseason to did a lot of strength training to up his velocity to 83 miles an hour. And, you know, he's doggone it. He tries really hard.
He might be better if he loses miles per hour. Remember Chris Hammond?
Yeah, I know.
He was like throwing like 57 mile an hour.
It is arguable that if he threw, if he threw nothing but 60 mile an hour gyro balls, that he'd
be just like ankle high, just like brushing the bottom of the strike zone.
Right.
I could with some downward like tilt. I could see how that might be more valuable than what he's doing. I think he just.
I think he's going to be on the roster.
At least I look at the 40-man roster and I say that is the guy that can be cut. He's old. He's not useful.
I know, but he gets paid.
There's a difference between whether it's going to happen and whether it should happen.
I think they cut Spangenberg way before they cut Makita, because they can cut that salary and, you know, free and clear.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that though.
So let's go through who do you have getting protected here? I've got agree or disagree here. Okay. Urias,
obviously he's going to get added.
Yeah, Nix,
he's going to get added.
Espinoza,
he's going to get added.
Paddock,
he's going to get added.
Wynn Jenter,
I think he'll get added.
Kennedy.
He'll get added.
Geddes.
That's
so. Actually, I think Kennedy's actually questionable. I think he should be added now.
Mm-hmm.
Get an audition.
That's
and
why
if,
it would be
and
so
it,
great
it,
if we
if
had
he,
70 major league innings of him already. We could easily make a determination.
Right. If he totally sucks, then cut bait on him.
Yeah.
But I think as of now, you keep him.
Yeah.
Geddes.
Questionable.
I think no, for sure.
The thing is, what do you get stashed on a major league roster somewhere? I mean, he can field, right?
He has an arm.
A little bit.
He's got a great arm. He can field, I guess, and he has raw power that's not game power.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a question there.
Austin Allen?
He'll get added. He should get added.
I think
sure.
so.
Yeah.
Oliveras. I mean,
he might be their best starting catcher
now. So they would have, I assume they would cut bait on Lopez and Nick and Ellis, yeah. right? And he would be the third catcher on the 40-man. Or
Mejia, Hedges, and, yeah. and Allen. Yeah, yeah, and I think he could play some first base and some others. Dude, he'd be a great pitch hitter, too. I mean, if you're only talking about trying to win as much as you can,
not
going to
lie, he's hitting better than Mejia has.
That's true.
He's hitting better than Mejia did in Double A.
Yeah.
So he's for certain a worse fielder.
Can he play third base?
I mean,
I've never seen.
I guess with Mejia, you can drop him in any position and people get yeah. excited for it. So, Edward Oliveras.
That's a good question. I don't know enough about his scouting, but he was an AJ target, so that makes me lean that he'll get kept.
Pedro Avila.
He'll get kept. I think Avila is a yes.
Ty France.
That I don't know. I can't imagine a team actually spending a Rule 5 pick on him. Unless it's a team, I could see the Marlins maybe saying, fuck it, let's add him, let's play him at third base all year. I actually think his minor league numbers are pretty good.
They're good. I mean, yeah, pretty good. I don't know if it's first base good. But
he's worth a cup of tea, I think.
Are you just aligning with him because he also went to a safety school at San Diego State?
Well, San Diego State's actually a safety school.
Well, UCSB is a safety school.
Yeah,
also.
UCSB has the fifth highest selectivity in the U.S. now.
I don't want to dig into this, but it doesn't. It's not the fifth best.
I'm not arguing it's the fifth best school. I argue fifth most.
It's not even the fifth best in the state. So.
Oh, it's definitely.
It's not even the fifth best in Southern California.
It depends what you study. Obviously, as it is for everything, it depends what you study.
I mean, as we've talked about many times,
if you study communications at Harvard, that's the worst education than studying.
I'd argue they'd make more.
I'd
guess they make more money on the aggregate. If you were to aggregate all Harvard,
who you know
exactly.
But that's not the same as quality education.
Who cares about quality education? Look, academic elitism is part of our brand with the Gwintelligence podcast, Marvin.
I guess. I
Gerardo Reyes.
I don't think he'll get added.
Yeah. I do. I actually think he's the most likely to get taken. But Jerry Keel.
He won't get added.
Brad Zunica.
Nope.
Hansel.
Unlikely, but not.
Because local media, I noticed, started. No. They are hyping Henry, not Hansel. Hansel's been up and down, reliever, starter.
I think he has a small.
He's an AJ guy, right?
He's an AJ guy. That's why I'm saying.
And they ate a lot of money to get Hansel Rodriguez, but yeah.
But I mean, I don't know how married he is to his guys like that. You know, some of these guys he's acquired were lottery picks. Was it the Melvin Upton one where he got Hansel?
Melvin Upton, yeah.
And Oliveras, was that the same deal?
No, Oliveras was Solarte.
Solarte, okay, both Blue Jays, but. It's one of those things where sometimes you just take a guy and see what comes of him. If nothing comes of him, you just get rid of him. So I don't think it's cutting Hansel Rodriguez is not admitting the biggest mistake in the world. I don't think Padres fans even remember
Melvin
Upton
not.
Very much. So,
Do you think the whole AJ guy thing is overrated by Padres Twitter?
Maybe a little
bit. Do you
bit.
Think he cares that much? This has come up quite a bit lately because, you know, Austin Hedges, he's not an AJ guy.
I mean, I look at the AJ guys as anyone who survived the 2015 trade.
And I don't know if you remember, but the team made a big deal about Hedges, Renfro, and one other prospect, right, that made it through that. And they were it's amazing what AJ was able to do getting all these players without giving up his top three prospects. And
who was
that
the, who
to
was
me,
the third prospect there?
Yeah, who was the third prospect? I can't think of who it is. Was it Urias? Was Urias already?
I don't think it was Urias then.
He wasn't hot by then, right?
No. So they traded Freed, Whistler.
Yeah, Whistler sucked. I don't know who that third prospect was.
I don't know either.
But whoever it was, I mean, clearly didn't.
Trey
make
Turner?
No, because they traded Trey Turner.
Obviously, but what was the order of the trades?
No. This is in the spring training, when everything was settled and.
Okay.
Okay, so you got Renfro.
Hedges.
Who was the third prospect? There was three, right? I'm not off on this.
No, you're not making this up. Let's ask the crowd. Do you guys remember in the 2014-2015 trade, Bonanza, how after we made all those trades, the media was like, oh, at least we kept
Marver's currently not talking into the microphone, so this is not being picked up by the microphone.
Do you guys remember in the 2014-2015 trade, Bonanza, when we traded, you know, got Upton, got all those guys.
And local media jacked AJ's local media
penis is the word he's looking for.
Fluffed AJ by saying it's amazing he was able to do this without trading his top three prospects.
Yep. Yeah, that's what we're asking you for.
A lot of help. Yeah. Okay.
We're asking you for the third guy.
I guess it doesn't matter. But but
obviously it wasn't
doesn't
very
that
good.
Make Hedges one of AJ's guys?
Sort of. I mean, that's what I'm saying is that he traded all the guys that I think he didn't have a good stock on. Freed, Malik Smith, Jace Peterson.
Bowers.
Like all the going all
Everyone
Bowers.
Bowers.
Burt Smith. All, I mean, you can go on
Bowers
and on.
Bowers is
and
arguably
on.
Doing the best
Jesse
of all
Hahn,
of them.
Jesse Hahn, all those guys. So... Yeah, I mean, I guess Hedges is an AJ guy.
I just
that,
think the AJ guy
sense.
Thing, I think it's overrated because they're like, well, he's not an AJ guy, so he's got zero value. I'm like, no, there's intrinsic value here. It's just just you don't see it. I guess that's all we've got on the Rule 5, right? I mean, we went through everyone. I do think there's some work to be done, right?
There's going to be a lot of movement.
It makes sense that they'd want to move multiple bodies now, clear off some of the roster, and call up guys like Wynn Jenter and Kennedy and kind of see what they've got before like the rubber hits the road.
Not just that, but they have guys on
them.
The 40-man, too. They need to – like, Lockett's on the 40-man already.
Well, come on.
I mean, just give them a couple starts to see. I mean, before
there's nothing to lose, right? We're going for the number one draft pick here, right?
But, I mean –
as we discussed on last podcast, the Orioles have a sound process going, so
yeah,
we maybe could surpass them. Well, so I think we've covered all the Padres topics. I thought now would be a timely time to go to the peanut gallery that's here.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we've got a third mic set up. We've got some great guests here. Why don't we bring on one of them? Our most elderly guest.
Yeah.
The star of Padres Twitter.
Oldest rookie. First.
Is he rookie of the year?
Is he? No. Leisure Bolt's been around for a while.
But we didn't embrace him.
No, I mean, no one embraced Leisure Bolt. It was Leisure Fryer that really changed everything.
Leisure Fryer, bring the mic up to you. I'll turn up your sound. Really.
Testing.
Just talk into the mic, Fryer.
Hello, and yes, it was. It was Marver.
You can throw it on my laptop.
Initially, I was Leisure Bolt when I first joined Twitter. For the longest time, and I don't know what happened, but I was mocked and miserable Fryer fan.
Typical story.
Yeah.
I was mocking someone.
Yeah, I was told to maybe I should change it to Leisure Fryer since I'm no longer a Charger fan anymore, and I thought that was a great idea. Thank you, Eric. And
has that been one of the greatest decisions of your life? Certainly
it's
better
not
than
been
your
one of it.
Certainly
it
better
has
than your
been.
Decision
it's
to get married, right?
Well, no.
Was that harder than going on?
My divorce was my greatest decision. and Leisure Fryer was number two.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah, and then joining Padres Twitter, right? That's been a great benefit for you.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. Is I see all the fighting and quibbling just on regular Twitter, political Twitter. I just can't handle it.
You follow political Twitter also?
No, how could you not? It just shows up in your timeline.
I have so many terms muted for political Twitter, it's out of control. Like, I have like 300 terms muted
now. If it wasn't for Padres Twitter, I would not be on Twitter.
Well, I mean, you, Marver, probably follow libertarian Twitter, though, I assume, right?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I have individual politicians I follow just to keep... There is the aspect of you want to stay on top of the news. And I remember when there was, like, the uprising in Turkey and, like, questions on whether Erdogan would get assassinated. Remember that day?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That was the day where I was like, wow, I'm glad I have Twitter. You know, like, I don't want to get rid of Twitter because all of the news updates that came out of Turkey were, like, on
Twitter
20 minutes before they were on CNN or whatever. So
Twitter is the place to get news now. I mean, you have to because all the news networks don't cover news anymore.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of the things we call news isn't really news
exactly.
anymore. So,
I mean, do you know how much I miss Bernard Shaw of CNN?
God, you're so old.
Yeah.
Hey,
do you remember Hal Clement? I really loved Hal Clement.
I really miss the click-clack of the typewriters is what I miss.
News was news. I'm sorry. It was better then.
So would you say that you're becoming, I would call you a pillar of Padres Twitter. Has that created a lot of fulfillment in your life in the last year or so? Because I can say for me, your participation has created a lot of fulfillment.
Well, first of all, I mean, I graduated high school in 1972, and I was voted the class clown. So that kind of, it's kind of followed me my whole life. being saying stupid.
So 2 years younger than my dad.
Okay, so you yeah, just to be clear,
some people
you are
laugh,
eligible
some people
for
fight.
You are eligible for Social Security.
I'm eligible, but that well, I could if I want to take a 25% cut.
Oh, you have 3 more years, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, my age, I think it was.
So you're not quite on the dole.
I'm not really. I'm one of you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, well, anyway, I really enjoy Twitter, and obviously, I'm a stay-at-home grandfather, as you guys know. And when I have the grandkids, it's kind of impossible to be on Twitter all day.
The GKs.
GKs. If it wasn't for Twitter, I wouldn't even follow the Padres. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Read the UT?
Well, it's an interesting point. Do you think it's weird that the Padres hate Padres Twitter so much?
Given
that I would argue that we create a lot of interest, way more interest than there should be for this garbage team.
Well, the mainstream, I guess, or UT, or I guess the management of the San Diego Padres are just convinced that we're a small minority. They don't believe that there's any numbers to people who are online. They don't care.
Well, that's an interesting point, Marver. I don't know if you listened to Jay Posner when he went on The Kept Faith, but Jay Posner very clearly, and Wayne Partello has said this also, that Padres, I know, they finally turned the air conditioning on
here.
I've got a 200-degree dog sitting in my lap.
Not named after a Padre,
been holding my wiener the whole time.
It's facing AJ, by the way. I could tell.
Marvin, so Jay Posner claims that Padres Twitter is not representative of the fan base as a whole. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's, I mean, statistically speaking, it would almost in some ways have to be some correlation between Padres Twitter and the general fan base, right?
I mean, I think it's a kind of a lazy argument because
it's a way to invalidate Padres Twitter, but it's not necessarily a true or reasoned statement.
Right. I mean, obviously, there's not more than 50% of Padres fans on Twitter. I mean, that's just not the way the numbers work. So if you're arguing the majority of fans don't reflect the opinion on Twitter, probably correct.
Here's where
It doesn't mean the sentiment is incorrect or that a lot of the Padres fans that aren't on Twitter have similar opinions. They just don't express them outwardly because they're not on Twitter.
I think there's a confusion between fans who are going to the game for the experience and fans who actually follow the game. Now, last year I went to like 18 games.
Check out Professor Moneybags over here.
I sit in section 300, you know that. This year I've only gone to one game. But the games I go to, for the most part, at least – it's minimum 50% aren't even paying attention to the game. Mm-hmm. Minimum. So these are people, it's the people who were at the Padre games are really no different than people going out to where we're at now. We're going out to dinner. They're just going out there. So I think the confusion lies comparing those people to fans.
I think one thing, though, I'm going to add, I've only been to one game this year. But the game, even when I was going to like 20 games a year.
Yeah, but you sat in Lexus or something. Right?
Well, yeah, you know, I sat in the Lexus section this year. I don't remember the ninth. I actually don't remember the ninth.
Round Jerome couches get really hot when the sun hits them, or does your skin stick to them?
I don't sit on those. Those are too far from the field. Okay. But I don't remember the ninth inning on. Also, I'll add. But what point was I making?
Just give me your beer.
We're talking about how Jay Posner is probably not correct in his opinion.
Weird.
Yeah.
Comparing oranges and apples.
That's the argument I'm making.
Even when I go to the games, I don't really watch the game. I just sit there reading Padres Twitter the whole time, and like refreshing my phone. I'm sure you're judging the people. Like you look around and people are checking their phone all the time, and like no one's really watching the game. They're like, then the video board gets really loud, and they're like, oh, I better focus on this for 20 seconds, and then they're like back to their phone, right?
Right.
And they paid $150 for the access to do that. They invested an hour round trip or more to do that. At least where I live, like, I talk to a lot of people because they know that I love the Padres, but even they are like, look, it's like too much to go there. Like, they've got the money. I would argue they probably have the disposable income to go, but it's like, why? I mean, I can go do a lot of things. There's a lot of things you can do for $200, right? I mean, Marva, you, of course, can speak to the, opportunity cost of things. Yeah. And I think that the average consumer is starting to kind of see that, like, it's pretty – not to say the Padres game's not fun. It is very fun. But $200 buys a lot of fun at a lot of different things. and well, that should be scary to the team.
The San Francisco Giants haven't, I don't know if it's true this year because their team stinks, but haven't they been sold out for
they're
like
over 500.
Okay, they're over 500, but haven't they been sold out for 5-6 years in a row? They've complete sellouts.
Well, I mean, I went there 2 years ago and bought a ticket from their website, so they couldn't have been sold out.
Okay, but it's close. I know
they
that.
Sell a lot of tickets. Yeah, they've got a big season ticket base. They have a big corporate base, so the stadium's not necessarily full, but the tickets are full.
San Francisco's not a great comparison just because of cost.
I know, but my comparison was going to be is that if since the Giants were a good product. And if the product is there, there's enough people that are willing to pay, and that's just tough for people who want to pay, who want the $5 tickets. And you know, I'm just a middle class guy, so the argument goes the other way. If the Padres are really super mediocre, I've been self-employed since I've been 18. I'm not rich, but I kind of know how numbers work. And I, for the life of me, I just can't figure it out. I sit up there in the upper deck, and I look to my left, I look to my right. It's nothing but empty seats. And the people that are there, okay, so they paid their $15 or $18 a ticket when people like, you know, the lower level echelon teams are there, like the Marlins or something.
Or the
and
Padres.
I see 21-year-old guys and with their dates spending $100 on concessions. So why not fill it up? Why not say, hey, every upper-deck ticket is $5?
I think we've
made this so many times. It feels like the Padres as an organization or as a business just don't believe in loss leaders. Like, just at all. Like, where you get someone in the door.
Every grocery store does that. Just every business does that. Right?
It's a proven tactic.
Like, yeah,
right? That's why
other
people,
than Apple.
That's why Fry's puts in a stupid ad of four-page ad in the newspaper has done that for the last 15
Ron
years, right?
Fowler's
because they stick a bunch of loss leaders in to get you through the door.
There's going
to
be people that are going to show up, get the Park at the Park pass for $5. They're going to have brought in a can of Pringles that actually had like a bottle of vodka in it, like I used to do.
Oh, man.
And they're not going to pay a red cent to the Padres. They're going to be those people. But there's going to be like the people that you're talking about that pay $5 to get into Park and then buy $100 worth of concessions or $80 worth of concessions, whatever it is. And not just that, it's the long-term effect. I made this point when the Padres hosted the Cubs like a couple weeks ago, and the Padres had like that fantastically Padres ending, Padres copyright ending, where how'd they lose the game again? I can't remember how they blew that one.
Hedges made a throwing error.
There was
Margot booted it
in center field. Yeah, the guy came around. Okay, yeah, that one. And then Anthony Rizzo was the hero for the Cubs, of course. Yeah, that game. How it was all Cubs fans below, and it's one of those things where like. Even if you gave someone a free ticket, like the Chargers used to give out free tickets. You give someone a free ticket, yeah, obviously it's a net loss to you because that person had a small chance of actually buying a ticket. But the fact that they gain this, basically this loyalty to your brand, to your product, they're going to come back and watch it more and be willing to pay more in the future. You have to have those. Otherwise, you completely lose generations of fans. And I think that's what's happened by having these very short-term. And they might be correct in that, yeah, if they want to maximize their 2018 profits on one specific day to not have $5 tickets, maybe that's correct on occasion. But the long-term picture is completely lost. And it's one of those things where every other business does it differently, right? You've gone through all the other teams in baseball. All these teams have these very favorable ticket offerings. And the Padres say, you know, we think they don't value their brand correctly, right? I mean, essentially what the Padres are saying is that the analysis done by all these other teams – which are much better at a lot of other facets of the game, are incorrect and that our analysis is certainly right, which is a very stubborn way of looking at things.
Well, this is what Ben Higgins told us, right? He was like, well, I'm pretty sure the Padres are in the business of making money, right?
Yeah,
so, of course, they're doing what's most profitable. And that's assuming, like you said, A, businesses always make the right decisions, and B, that businesses are always looking at their long-term viability instead of their next quarter. And there are many examples of corporations that focus on the next quarterly reports while flushing their future down the toilet to hit those targets.
But even then, that can make sense, though, because a lot of times those people that are doing that from a corporate level, and now I deal with these people like all the time, they have stock that's like vesting. So like, it's very important that the next quarterly report
is huge or small,
those are the incentives. Whatever. And for all we know, the Padres set their incentives for their executives on a yearly basis. It doesn't matter. I mean, they may set their personal executive incentives. I mean, we know from our research into Mike D., that there may have been some juicing of marketing deals or juicing of attendance.
Giving away free tickets during these sponsorship deals to inflate season tickets.
We heard quite a few stories of the attendance being juiced, right?
Yep. Guys, let me throw this at you. Maybe there's things that we just don't understand. And I'm going to use the Chargers as an example. They seem to have the same philosophy as the Padres do when it comes to attendance, that they really don't give a crap. Because the numbers were just released this last week. The Green Bay Packers are a public team, and so their numbers came out. And the Green Bay Packers get a check in the mail for $255 million every year.
Right, that's just the league's revenue.
Yeah, that's just the
sharing,
revenue.
Right?
That has nothing to do with anything that they make on their own.
Completely split by all the teams, by the way. Yeah.
There's no public Major League Baseball team, so we don't know those numbers.
Right.
But maybe there has to be something that we're not seeing, because we could, you know,
when you go to business school, a bunch of what you do is case studies, right? Case studies of successful and also case studies of failures. And when you take a look at what's going on in Major League Baseball, there's an ample case study that 15 to 20 other teams are doing something. You would assume successfully, or they wouldn't be doing it in the first place. And I'll add that those teams have a much longer track record of success, both on the field and off the field, than the Padres. So then you wonder why this team, the team that is perpetually terrible, run by dummies, and has a history of just incompetence running the team, why do we trust them to make the right decision? Why does Ben Higgins blindly say, well, where I'm sure they're doing the best thing for their business, right?
I when I read his tweet, I thought the same thing.
And Ben's a very nice guy, but I think that he may be blinded to, and I believe this is the case with much of the media, blinded to some of the problems because they have regular, you know, look, the thing is, when you chat with someone regularly, when you're walking into the press box and Wayne's there glad-handing you, you think nicer, you know, he is a nice guy, I think. I mean, I think he's a total dickhead, but he's generally a nice guy to most people, right? And so you obviously have nicer feelings about it, and I think sometimes that sways the thoughts of some people in our local media.
Yeah, well, that's also why when we invited Wayne onto the podcast, and he said he would only do it in person in his office.
I have to say,
without
you.
And you had to fly out from Delaware. You had to fly from Delaware.
Yeah. Like the most unreasonable,
Yeah. I got to say one thing before I hand the mic off is you guys have been I like to have a slow pitches down the middle because I'd like to be funny, and you guys have drugged me into an area where it's impossible to make jokes.
Hey, look, Fryer, we can talk about things, you know. When you watched Abner Doubleday play baseball, how much were the tickets for that? Like, did they juice you on the ale or?
I tweeted out this morning that I went to a doubleheader, like there's a Padre doubleheader tomorrow, but of course it's a split doubleheader, and we know why it's split, right? Well, back in the day, there used to be doubleheaders that were actually doubleheaders. You paid one price and sat through
the whole
innings?
I went to one of those at Qualcomm, actually. It wasn't even that long ago. I went to an Arizona Diamondbacks San Diego Padres doubleheader with my brother.
Because everything good in our history happened at Qualcomm.
And I swear to you, there were like 80 people at that game.
Qualcomm, there was some horrible. I mean, I've been to games there where there was like 2,000 people paid, and out of the 2,000, maybe 800 were sitting there in the seventh inning.
Can I actually ask you? Yeah. So, Jeff Dotsett has talked a lot about the history of like the milk jug thing, where
That's
you could bring a gallon of whatever
I was
you wanted.
There.
What did you bring in?
Oh my God!
Did you go mixed
and
drink?
This is both at Charger games and
the Potter. Chargers had the same policy.
There was no policy. Okay. That's what you young people are missing. Okay, nowadays everything is a policy.
We've
policy,
ceded a lot of
policy.
There
we've
was ceded
no
regulation
policy.
To the man on everything.
You know, the first Charger game I ever saw, Johnny Unitas was a quarterback, and Dan Fouts was backing him up. True story. I was at Padre games. My first Padre game was probably 1971. I mean, I wasn't a regular because Padres are. What was their first year, 1969?
1969, nice.
And they were new, but it was so cheap. Even in 1970 money, I mean, we just had a discussion about how much it cost. I was a 17-year-old kid. The money didn't mean anything. I had a Volkswagen. It cost me $3 to fill it up.
Squareback?
And what's that?
Squareback?
No, it was a...
Carmen Ghia?
No, it was the Volkswagen. It was the Bug.
The Bug, okay.
I think, cost me $3 to fill up in the 9-gallon tank. So you could do the math. Marva, you're a good mathematician, I hear. So you could, was that 30 cents a gallon or something like that?
33 cents, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what gas was in 1970.
Friar, that's simple that's like arithmetic that a third grader does.
Then how come you guys both look stunned at me when I ask for an answer? But what I'm getting at is,
you
the
have to
money
remember, math back then was different. Also,
money,
you have to
the
remember.
Money
with the abacus. And
yeah,
the
yeah.
cost,
yeah.
the cost of going to a game didn't matter then. Yeah. It does now. It got crazy because, and most, you know, another thing is there wasn't. I don't remember this big discrepancy of seating costs from
field
know,
level to Lowe's
yeah,
to upper
was,
deck
yeah.
to outfield.
Yeah, I mean it was. You
that's
know,
generally five. A new thing. I mean, and even with the Chargers, like that, and this is obviously the thing they cited as a negative, but like club seating was like. The big deal,
yeah,
right? And that's
right.
not close to the field at all.
I said something to a Padre guy last year, cracked him up as I was waiting to come in. And everybody talks about, you know, we live in this democracy. You know, the days of the queen, king and queen and the class system are over. Well, you know what? In the United States, you know where the biggest place of a class system exists? It's at a major league ballpark. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you go to a ballpark, you know, it's like the Titanic. Okay, you people with no money, you're going downstairs. The people with money are going upstairs. It's pretty much, of course, it's reverse in the ballpark, but it's... anyway.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was going to ask you, in your opinion, did you like Qualcomm better? I'm not even going to call it Qualcomm. Did you like Jack Murphy better? Like I think the narrative we hear is... Who cares about the baseball team? We've got this great ballpark with great with awful Phil's barbecue in it.
Okay.
You guys should be happy.
Here's
and honestly, if you ask me which ballpark I enjoyed going to a game more, I enjoyed Qualcomm and Jack Murphy much
different.
More.
And I'll tell you what, I've been to sold-out stadiums at Petco, which I love. I'm not bad-mouthing Petco at all. And Murphy.
To be clear, I'm not either. It's a great ballpark.
No, it's a great
comparatively
ballpark.
Comparatively.
And the feeling at Jack Murphy or San Diego Stadium, whatever you want to call it, I've been to sold-out games there. Not many with the Padres, but I went to they had two All-Star games, I think, over the years. In the
92
and 78. I was at both of those. And
did you go to the 98 playoffs?
I did not go to the 98 playoffs. They're also
You didn't miss much. You either missed an Andrés Galarraga grand slam,
and,
or you missed Scott Brosch's home run.
The
19,
the most exciting.
No, the 98 playoffs were glorious. Yeah. Remember,
the Astros and Braves
series were outstanding.
But a lot of the home games had heartbreak.
But the stadium, yeah. Like you're saying, Prowler, is there was nothing. It was electric.
When you get 65,000 baseball fans in the stadium, and especially you weren't there in 98, but they would get this was right. in the height of rally towel
right.
era. It was very amazing.
I still have very strong memories of everyone chanting Tony.
Yeah, like and honestly, the same goes with the Chargers
for minutes.
In a way. When Qualcomm was full and full of Chargers fans, it's an electric atmosphere that may never be matched by
Petco. Now, you guys have
Petco.
Talked about this before. My number one Padre moment was, this is probably blasphemous because it involves a Dodger. But
it was
Steve,
when Junipero Serra founded
Steve
the
Harvey's
San Diego Mission
again.
De San Diego Alcala? Or
yeah.
back in, yeah?
No, 1984. When the Garvey hit the home run, against the Cubs.
That's fine. No one says it's not a good moment. It's a good moment,
right? But there's been arguments. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's different.
Back and forth.
I think it's more the number retirement. I don't think anyone disputes the fact that his home run was obviously
an incredibly
huge moment in Padres history. I mean, I wasn't alive for it. I didn't see it. But
I can only imagine how electric. I mean,
it was.
I was only. Three.
I was at home. I was watching on television. It was crazy. And
how loud was it? How loud do you think it was? Like, this is back in the day when everyone just has their shirts off at the game, right? And they've got the milk jug. And, like, do you think the stadium was, like, an amazing atmosphere that could never be matched?
We kind of veered off the rules there. But, okay, back in 84, and when I first started going to games, Chargers and Padres, there were no rules. You said you gave the guy your ticket. You said hello when you walked in with your backpack. I mean, there could have been anything in there.
Meth.
And and we brought everything in there. And basically, most of the people, they frowned on bringing the smoking things just because that was a big draw. But bong? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
You didn't want to have other people smelling. You know, then they didn't want to turn you in. But
so you never answered my question. What did you bring in your milk jugs?
Well, you were allowed one jug. you were
per
allowed,
person
allowed one, but they never checked. So whatever you could squeeze in your backpack.
Did you get married just so you could have a second jug brought in?
I really don't remember bringing her.
Technically,
to any
third
games,
and fourth too, right?
Mine was more of a shotgun wedding, so there wasn't much dating involved.
Okay.
But anyway, those were...
What's her Twitter handle? Leisure...
My Twitter handle?
No, hers. It's Leisure what?
It's Leisure Gal, right?
I don't know if I break some
leisure
teeth...
Leisure Gal.
If I break some teeth, will the mics pick it up right now?
Leisure Gal. I want to see if that's actually a Twitter handle. Yeah. We're all going to pretend that's... Yeah.
No, but we it was...
There's so, I mean, so you, I don't think you answered it directly. Rules, so. If you could trade it one for one, would you go back to the Qualcomm site and make it a baseball stadium again? Encompassing things like tailgating and all that? Because to me, those years are I don't think they could ever
so
be matched
much,
again.
You guys love to talk about incompetence, and there was so much incompetence that's unbelievable. I actually knew the contractor who got the contract on the Qualcomm expansion. He was a contractor out of Escondido. It was... Coletto or
look,
something.
We don't need to give him a free ad.
No, I know, but anyway, it was. I read something this morning. There's still the city of San Diego still is paying.
We just agreed. We just agreed to assume $13 million for the next 2 years.
But, listen, honestly, the expansion
it was a $70 million contract originally. So why is it? I mean, I know how mortgages work, but is there ever a day where anything goes to principal? You know, anyway, so you asked me a question.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
You asked me a question. You asked me a question about how the stadium.
Yes, in an amortization chart, there is a time when money goes to principal.
Yeah, when you die, right before death. Yeah. But you asked me, I just think, I think the stadium could have been, redesigned when they're remodeling. Okay, when you remodel your house, do you remodel it so it's really shitty and it's not really what you want?
No,
stuff?
No, of course.
Of course not. You remodel, you get an architect, hey, let's remodel this thing so it's as efficient as possible for both sports that we need. And obviously they didn't do that. That's why they totally remodeled the place for the Chargers. It pissed off the Padres.
No, it made it worse for both teams, though, because like the Chargers for years couldn't sell those tickets. And that's why when people cite statistics that are like, oh, the Chargers could only sell like 78% of their stadium. It's like, well, yeah, they have an 80,000-seat stadium for football. Like, the Ravens have like a 48,000-seat stadium. It's like, of course they're going to sell at 48,000. The Chargers have had more than 48,000 fans at every game since since the Ryan Leaf years, you know? So I think the expansion hurt the Chargers more than it possibly helped them. But
So we have some dead air, and I'm blaming Marver for that.
Blame Marver for everything.
I didn't know what you were pointing at.
I was trying to see
who's
going to come next out of the peanut gallery here.
Yeah. So
we've got multiple podcasters here that could come on.
We do.
Well, guys, thanks for having me
on. Hey, Fryer, thanks for coming out here.
Appreciate it.
I hope you don't miss the bus on the way back.
I want to say one more thing. I actually had a bet with somebody that H.A. Preller had red hair and freckles, and I was completely wrong.
Very wrong, yes.
Wait, who'd you bet?
It's a secret.
I think you also accused me on Twitter of being at least husky, if not corpulent, because of all of my Padres meat Twitter.
The word was fat, but yeah. I'm totally wrong. See you later, guys.
Thanks, Fryer.
Thank you.
So we've got another podcaster here. I will add, Eric from 5.5 is here, but he's been on so many goddamn podcasts in the last week. Like, do we need more Eric? I mean, if we're being honest, so... This is a name that pops up once in a while. We've got Justin Living Life here. He's got his own cystic fibrosis podcast, which I've listened to a couple times.
It's awesome. I appreciate
it. It's great, but we've also chatted offline about beer, and I've been told that Padres beer chat is not a popular topic when it comes up.
I feel differently. I feel Padres beer chat is a great topic to talk about.
I think if you're drinking beer when you're having the chat, it's different.
Right.
Yeah,
I think
so
it's fine.
Right now,
right?
I think it's a very applicable time to have Padres beer chat.
Yeah, I mean, we're at a brewery, so I mean, like, it's a great time to have Padres beer chat.
Yeah, Justin, you're not nearly as small as Eric and Danny had described you as on their podcast.
This is true, but I'm obviously smaller than Eric, so.
Well, all Mr. Keto over here, full of all the scientific evidence supporting how healthy keto is. Keto, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's really good for your heart, Eric. It's good. it's not like heart disease isn't the number one killer in America. So you're really going down a great path with just eating bacon. Just eating bacon and liquefied fat. It sounds like a good idea.
No carbs, but all the fat I want. Yeah.
So Justin, what do you think of the team this year? Like, I think you're an average. You're a great member of Padres Twitter.
Yeah, so I'm a great member of the Padres Twitter, and so if you ever listen to the 5.5 podcast, they mentioned talking about, or maybe it was like your guys' like super podcast was something about the beach town
beach
night.
Beach town night, yeah.
Yeah, and so I heard the podcast, like immediately texted Eric, and I was like, that is totally like geared towards my parents, because I have I still have a 20 game package with my my dad and my stepmom, and they're like all like, so a 20 game pack, I'll take all the like Tuesday games, they have all the Saturday games, and they'll move around their Saturday games for whichever the biggest giveaway is, and one of the biggest giveaways is the beach blanket night, and so I was like, that was totally like geared towards my parents, like, because like they're not on Twitter, they're on, like, they have Facebook, they're barely on Facebook. It's more like the more or less follow me and my sister, and nothing like Potter's related. And like they love like the beach blanket night. And like,
by the way, my parents getting on Facebook was my cue to get off Facebook.
Well, that's
I would
definitely agree.
I was like, my dad's on Facebook. Like, wow, this website's not for me anymore.
If we're being honest, like that's the death knell of Twitter, right? It's when it got taken over by grandma's, grandpa's, Leisure Friar's parents, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Leisure Friar, are you on Facebook? You don't have to. You can nod.
I have never been on Facebook in my life. Never logged in.
Okay. Well, that ruins my theory. But
maybe I'll have to get back on.
Yeah. Maybe I'll reconsider coming back.
Say everyone back on.
Everybody back on.
Well, yeah. So the beach towel thing, that is like the quintessential San Diego giveaway, right?
Yes.
And honestly, that's the next game I'll go to, and it's arguably it's probably going to be the last game I go to this season.
Yeah, like, and it's against the Phillies too, so it'll be. Like,
I couldn't care. I honestly couldn't care less. Like the beach towel. We talk a lot about the promotional items and stuff, and things look really cool when they reveal them over the winter, but I would argue that the only giveaway I actually use or enjoy on any kind of regular basis is the beach towels. Those are I've got a cabinet full of, like, I don't know, 9 beach towels, and so whenever we go anywhere...
How much do you go to your beach? How often do you go to the beach?
Go to the beach a lot.
9 days in a row?
You got 3 people. You got 3 people. You got to bring a lot of beach. You got to bring a lot of towels. You got swim lessons twice a week. You got. Yeah. I'm building a pool, Marver.
Yes, I'm wrong. All right, next thing. Beach towels are nice.
Life is on the East County where you live, but out here on the coast, we go to the beach all the time.
My question is that do you still want those fedoras when you go?
I have a stack of fedoras in a closet right now. I've got a bunch of like the replica jerseys. Everyone goes crazy for them when they announce them. They're still in the plastic sitting in my closet. I'm never going to wear a replica jersey because I'm a normal adult that doesn't wear jerseys in public. Like, I'm never going to wear that. And so, like, I harp on promotional items a lot. I actually argue that the cheap beach towels, the really thin fabric and just sandpapered surface of them, is a feature because they pack down so small when we go to the beach and So like I said, that's going to be the one promotional night that I go to. And I think that's the case for average people.
Actually, just to add to that feature list, when I went backpacking most recently, I brought a Padres towel because it fit, because it condensed so much into my bag.
Right.
Like I had a normal towel I was going to bring. Like, this is a much nicer towel. I get more dry, whatever. But it just didn't fit.
The Padres lack of flushness is a feature, not a bug.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you use it as toilet paper?
I did not, but I actually lost it and then had to buy a new towel.
So will you be at the August 11th beach towel game?
Very unlikely.
Okay. That's unfortunate.
Very unlikely.
This is a good time to ask. Is the boycott back on for you? Because you were very boisterous about the team for a while.
Yeah, no, the boycott's not on. So it's just a matter – now it's like – again, it's the – you can do so many other things with the money. It's the value proposition. Yeah. I mean, there's so many other things you can do with the money. And when I moved back here, first of all, I was like, I need to lose a little bit of weight. So playing basketball is a good choice for me. But I needed new shoes, and that's like the cost of like nice tickets. So that was the value prop I made. It was either go to 2 games or buy top-of-the-line brand-new basketball shoes and play basketball and lose some weight. Like,
really?
Has those
shoes changed your game?
The shoes have not yet arrived.
How's your shooting percentage looking?
So that will not change. The only thing that will likely change with it Well, it might change a little bit. Get to the hoop a little bit more, but it's mostly the lateral movement on defense.
That's right? Weird. I have incredible lateral movement, and I don't wear
Kobe's. Oh, I have great lateral movement, too.
I wear Vibrams.
I like to have the lightest low-top shoes I can get.
So why don't you wear Vibrams?
The Flyknits.
Some nice Minimuses, New Balance Minimuses or something.
I don't know. Have you ever even worn Kobe's?
No, I don't wear basketball right. shoes.
What size do you wear?
I play 8 to 10 weeks. 8 to 10 hours a week. I wear Vibrams. I wear New Balance Minimuses.
Man, you got to try. I used to be the same way in the sense that I was like, oh, it can't possibly make a difference. And then I actually tried a pair of Kobe's. My buddy got them, and they didn't fit him because he ordered them online and didn't realize.
Well,
so
I wore
them, and I was like, holy fuck, these make a gigantic difference in your ability to instantly move.
Well,
and so,
Justin, I don't know how you feel about this, but what
size should you wear?
Personally, I don't. Do you like enriching rapists? I don't
no.
like it. I personally, this is out of nowhere, but I don't enjoy enriching
yeah,
rapists.
Yeah, I don't quite agree with that. Come on, Marver.
Marver,
it's for a good cause.
Just to be clear,
right?
Just to be clear,
bat, playing pickup bat. That's a great.
Just
cause.
To be clear, Marver, do you enjoy enriching rapists or no?
No.
Well, I mean, you did, right? Did you do that against your will?
I believe he was proven innocent.
Proven innocent?
No, I think he was proven innocent, actually.
Or did they settle without going to trial?
Did they settle without going to trial? No, I'm pretty sure that he actually went to trial and was proven innocent.
But
I might
we
not
all
be
know
correct.
He's a rapist.
Have you, by the way, have you read his testimony that he gave?
No.
You have not read his testimony. No. This is like peak Padres Jagoff would enjoy this testimony. I'm going to send you it right now on Twitter.
That's good podcasting. That's great.
Yeah. It is great podcasting. I recommend it for anyone who hasn't read Kobe's actual evidence that he gave to police the night that happened. I highly recommend
semen
it.
Semen evidence?
Very
semen evidence?
No, not semen evidence. But, you know, you learned a little about...
Penile photos. Also, I noticed that the table...
I will say that you learn a lot about what Kobe prefers in the bedroom and what he does not prefer in the bedroom.
The table behind us had a child sitting there, which is why I held back on some of the penis talk, and we drove them away. Justin, I want to give you the floor for a second. Do you have any questions for the Gwintelligence podcast, or are you just here to observe?
Just kind of here to observe. I mean, obviously, I'm here for the Padres Beer Chat, right?
Yeah, of course. I think it's fair to point out that you have a very interesting cystic fibrosis podcast. Where can people find it?
They can find it on Google Play, on iTunes.
That's
and
weird. We're
SoundCloud.
Not on Google Play. Marver, why aren't we on Google Play yet?
Marver.
Because Google does not. Believe it or not, Google does not have an interface with WordPress.com. That is the reason for it.
Weird. It seems like there's a lot of podcasts
but
that are
But most of
WordPress.
Them don't have WordPress. No, they're WordPress.org.
I see.
Different. Unfortunately, we just can't get on Google Play. But it is a Google issue. It is a Google issue, actually. I called their helpline
look,
and worked
look,
with them.
We don't need to dig into the...
We can't be on Google Play.
I think we can just sum it up as a Marver failure, though.
It's not a Marver failure. It's the websites don't play together, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's Justin. Is the podcast named Justin Living Life, right?
Yeah. Justin. Well, it was Justin Living Life with CF, and then I changed it to Justin Living Life with cystic fibrosis because I found out because there was a couple other podcasts that had like cystic fibrosis in them, and like it wouldn't come up if I just put CF. So that's how I came up with I extended my podcast name.
Yeah.
With what that is. So.
I will say I found it very inspiring, and
I think
a lot of things you
that.
Do, you run a lot of. I think you and I are both elite endurance athletes. We run half marathons, whatever. So
yes.
I think that's very impressive. I think it's good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's kind of like back to your basketball shoe talk. I mean, it's same thing with running shoes. It's you don't want to buy the cheap running shoes at some store because it's gonna hurt.
Well,
your feet.
This is an excellent point.
I run
this
in Vibrams.
Fantastic point.
I run in minimalist shoes. So
are those the ones with individual toes?
I have the toe shoes. I've switched over to the New Balance Minimuses, but they're essentially the same.
Yeah, but I mean, it feels the same thing. You have to spend good money to get good running shoes, or it's gonna hurt your feet. So.
If Marver wanted to be less corpulent, don't you think he should be running half marathons instead of just relying on pickup basketball?
It's so boring, though.
Couldn't he do both? Couldn't we do why not both dot GIF here?
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, I can definitely run the long term distances.
No, you can't.
Oh, absolutely.
You could
can.
Not run a half marathon if you ran it next week.
No, but next week might be pushing it because I haven't been playing as long as normal.
I think a 5K is probably out of the question.
I used to play with a tracker on me, and I would easily run like 8 miles
a day.
That
is the lamest measure in the world. You could not. I don't think you could run a sub 55-minute 10K.
I don't know what my time would be. That's an open question because I've never officially run it. I just get way too bored. The thing is, I can go play sports for a really long time and be the most active person.
Is Eric's podcast not interesting enough for you?
No, it's not even that. It's just a matter of, like, if I get on the basketball court, for example, there's a game going on. And for me, that's very different than just running in a straight line or running along a scenic route. Like, I can run I can exercise for a long period of time. It's just a matter of, do I actually have interest in doing it? I get too bored. It's not a matter of getting too tired.
Leisure Friars, razzing him right now.
It's true. It's the matter. I mean,
Barbara,
I'm sure
are you surf screens a lot when you play?
Do I what?
Are you guy that just goes around the perimeter and sets screens?
No. I mean, I set a decent.
I'm running pick and rolls, except they knock you off of your feet, and then you're unable to continue the route towards the basket.
Absolutely not. No, I mean, I definitely set screens. But it's not like I'm like a more screen setter than normal. I would say that it depends on where you play. Some places are, most places are 2-1, right? And so, obviously, the most valuable spot on the court in those games is the corner three. So for the most part, it's either drive to the hoop and kick it to whoever's in the corner three, or be the person that gets to the corner three, or set the screen so that someone can get in the corner three. Like, I will do all three of those things. It's not like I have one more or the other.
Yeah. All right, I think we've covered.
I'm a high-effort player, though, for sure. A high-effort player.
Very scrappy.
Scrappy might not be the right word, but definitely high effort.
I don't think Eric and my description of you as the David Eckstein of pickup basketball is that far off.
No, that's not accurate. I also have.
He doesn't even play in North County.
One thing you can't tell is I actually have a very large wingspan for my height. So, like, when you match up and pick up basketball, you match up against someone who's roughly the same height as you or the same size as you. And generally that leads to me end up being the person who's under the basket getting the rebounds, actually.
Well, so you've also gloated on Twitter quite a bit about your baseball skills. I think when you were assigned to – I forget what position you were assigned in one of the Twitter
bit
this week. Yeah. You said that was a waste of your skills.
Absolutely a waste of my
Eric,
skills.
Eric, did you bring your baseball equipment? Is it in your trunk right now? Can we go out in the parking lot, hurl a baseball, and see if Marvick can hit a 75-mile-per-hour fastball?
We should absolutely do that. I would love to do that.
I don't believe he could, and I'd be willing to throw down a large sum of money that he could.
Let's please do this.
I don't think Eric actually could throw a 75-mile fastball right now.
I have a spring training story. I went to an Oakland A's spring training game. It was 3 years ago, maybe, with the son of the Angels VP. And so we got, like, free tickets. It was an Angels Oakland A's game, and anyways, they had like a pitching machine or a radar gun where you could throw it as hard as you could, and they had like a leaderboard, and the leaderboard for men above the age of 18 was like 68 miles an hour. I was like, oh, I got this, and I went up there, first pitch, mid-70s, I was like, yes, that's what's up, and I hurt my elbow, and it's never been the same, actually, since that one throw, and I was like, well, at least I'm first. I came back, well, I went to the concession stand, got a beer, walked back, and the new highest for men was like 89. Like, someone in the 8 minutes I had
gotten
to the
concession stand. Walked over.
I don't know who it was. Someone, his name was Andrew, actually. I remember that. But someone from in the 8 minutes I went to the concession stand, went up there and threw 89.
Fryer.
And I'm walking around with like a broken elbow.
Marver just said, I think his name was Andrew, and Fryer jumps in with, was he Mexican? And, like, aside from the casual racism, like, why would Andrew set off that question?
Andrew's not a very Mexican name.
It's not Andres.
It's your next Quinn Intelligence writer.
God.
First article ever in Spanish.
Fryer is so Escondido.
Is he going to write it in Spanish? Is that the goal?
I think that'd be a good bit.
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Fine with me.
I mean, I would prefer if it was written in English and then you just press to translate to Spanish and then you put that up there as the article. I think that'd be more entertaining.
So, Marver, we've run an hour and a half here. What do you think? Do we close this out?
I mean, we've really milked two entries into an hour and a half.
I mean, I will recognize
somehow.
We've got the Kanye Padres here. We've got Eric from 5.5, who's already had ample mic time, I think, this week.
Yeah.
The Kanye Padres is actually going to have something published on our site this week. He wrote an excellent post about the need for a president, on the team. You want to jump on for 5 minutes?
That's where it's
way more. Well, Chad wrote one Freddie Galvis article. It was a good article, but Chad's busy at his own safety school at UC Berkeley, so You know, he's not around that much. But the Kanye Padres, you wrote a really great, very long, extensive, well-researched article. I think it's going to go up this weekend, maybe early next week. We granted you access to the pearly gates of Gwintelligence.
Yeah, I had to be inconvenienced for 5 minutes of my life to be able to let Jagov add you. So you're welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. Yep.
I don't know if you're going to write more, but it was a really good article that you wrote. Basically your thesis is that having just a piece of cardboard running the team as the president, like Eric Grubner, may not be the best strategy going forward. And it's kind of a point. We've talked a lot about Ron Fowler in the last week, and a lot of that is tied to the fact that other teams don't have their presidents on the radio. Don't have their owner on the radio. Marver, I mean, you're around Baltimore. The Angelos family doesn't go on the radio all the time. They hire people to go on the radio for them, which is what we used to do here. Like, Mike D was the face of the Padres. It's just he happened to be a philandering dickhead that stole money from the team, allegedly. So
one thing you noticed, or at least I noticed in Philly, was that all of the team executives, whether it's the GM, manager, president, whatever, for the Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, they will all go on the radio. They will go on to radio stations that just bashed them, like the half hour before them going on. And they are not bumbling idiots. Like, it was.
Well, because
they were simultaneously refreshing and depressing at the same time.
I mean, they earn their job because they're good in front as a public face of some organization, right?
I mean, I don't even know if they're even good necessarily on the radio, but they weren't bumbling idiots, right? I mean, Matt Klentak he's okay on the radio. I mean, he's a very technical person, and he'll start. He's boring to listen to on the radio, but he's not a bumbling idiot. So.
Well, and I always use the Nationals as an example because that's when I'm very familiar with them. But like the Lerner family, who is one of they are the richest ownership group in baseball, never went on the radio.
They had Steve Carson, right?
No, they have Mike Rizzo, was the GM who was elevated to president. He's generally the one on the radio, or they talk to the manager.
Okay.
I started going through on Twitter, like, other teams, and I can't come up with another example where there is an owner that is the regular face of the team. Like, the Giants. You can't even name the owner of the Giants.
No. It's Magic. Magic's part owner, right?
Who?
He goes Magic Johnson.
Is he?
No.
Of the Giants?
Dodgers.
Of the Dodgers.
Yeah, we're talking Giants.
I'm saying he... No, I understand. I'm just saying Magic Johnson, I'm pretty sure he goes on the radio and talks Dodgers, and he's a part owner of the Dodgers.
Does he? How much does he go on the radio?
I think he promotes Dodgers.
But he's also not the real owner. He owns like 3% of the team. You don't hear from
how
the
much
Guggenheim.
Does Ron Fowler own?
You don't hear from the Guggenheim group.
But how much does Ron Fowler own?
I'd guess more than 3%.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe like 15% or something. I mean, that's not like a huge absurd amount, you know?
I just think that on balance, you don't hear from the owners. Yeah. They're not. Yeah. They hire a president to run the team. Like Alderson is the one for the Mets. You don't hear from.
But there are some owners in sports that are really really vocal. I mean, Mark Cuban's obviously incredibly vocal. Jerry Jones.
But that's not the
norm. It's not like it's completely unprecedented in American sports. But in baseball, it's a little bit more
rare.
I like
they were linking Jerry Jones to terrible Ron Fowler.
Yeah, like the exact opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. So, Kanye Padres, you wrote something really good. I mean, I think the readers are really going to enjoy it. I think it's a thesis that's important. And obviously, we've been somewhat critical of people like Eric Grubner, Ron Fowler, really Wayne Partello, who's a total jerk-off, being the face of the team. So,
And it seems like Ron Fowler is doing way more than he should. And it doesn't make any sense.
Did you hear his interview about how when he started listing his average day?
Yeah.
Where he's like, well, I run my large beer distribution business in the morning. And then I move on and Wayne calls me and tells me about Padres Twitter after that and how much of a jerk they are.
Yeah.
And then we move on to
with
like.
Grubner.
Yeah. Then Grubner meets AJ with me about operations and AJ meets with me about baseball ops and Chris Kemp comes in and talks to me about international scouting. Then Rhonda, what's her, Cedillo comes in and talks to me about the finances.
That means Ron Fowler is the CEO. Like that's what the role is.
He's
like,
very forward about it. And Mike D the one complaint that was universal of Mike D was he's too involved with baseball ops.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike D would kind of try to play it down some or, you know, he would never outwardly say some things. But Fowler's like, he's right out there, very, very much admitting.
Yeah, and it's
place.
One thing if you're just getting the information. It's another thing if you're then decisioning.
Right.
Right. And I've made this point on like maybe like 10 podcasts, but one of the most important things you can do as someone with that much ability to affect decisions is to know what you don't know and to not affect the decisions on the things that you don't know. And unfortunately, it sounds like he affects decisions on a lot of things that he doesn't necessarily know very much about.
Right.
And it's not even like the – I don't even know if I have very much confidence that the people that are in charge of it for the Padres know a lot of what they're doing anyways, right? So
– I mean, I would also question even a guy like Eric Grubner, who by trade is an attorney.
Yeah.
His entire resume is general counsel type work. Mm-hmm. And he's now running the CFO's office. He's running operations. He's running ticket sales. He's running marketing. He has no qualifications for that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that a person like that is good for contracts, for, advertising and, other things like that.
Things of a contractual nature.
Yeah.
Well, and the Padres have a lot of relationships with the city that they obviously need to have overseen.
Right,
and
the joint agreement on the ballpark.
Absolutely, yeah. So there is a need for an Eric Grubner for sure, but whether you want that person to be also the person in charge of marketing, sales, and essentially,
a ticket package.
Like, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. That's another open question for sure.
But in the end, the buck stops at him, and he's an attorney by trade. It's kind of similar to how Wayne Partello runs marketing when he has no college degree and no formal training in marketing. I mean, he is a well-known, he's a pillar of the turd polishing community, but yeah, besides that, yeah.
He loves that. But it seems like Ron Fowler's taking over that role, and he's sitting in on these uniform, these surveys.
Well, you don't think he's classically trained in statistical analysis and sampling? No. Or
I don't believe so. He shouldn't be involved. Like, he's an owner, and obviously he has a stake in this. In this team, and he also has other people with him that believe that he should be able to turn a profit. And something that you said, like, is that money just going up his nose or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. That means it's going up other people's noses too. So that's something that we should be aware of, and he should either go away and hire someone else, or like,
or just the cash Sidler the checks. Should, that's all we really want. Yeah, is for Sidler him to cash the checks.
Honestly, have someone else to take over this role.
I'm curious how much of it also is like. There's been a lot of speculation over the years that Fowler's not going to be in this position for a long time. If you read anything of his original statements, either it's a little bit of morbidity about his lifespan, or it's about a legitimate logistical thing that he has, where he only has control for X number of years. I wonder how much of it is him trying to have as much hands-on control as he can while he can. So I think there's a little bit more potentially under the hood than I think meets the eye in terms of there's no team president. Maybe it's just Fowler's last 2 years, and he just doesn't want to deal with that. Maybe Seidler's like, I don't want you hiring someone for 2 years if I'm going to want someone new in a couple years. So I think the buck's out, or the book is still open on that.
Yeah.
But. I mean, it would be nice to have someone guiding the ship in a correct manner, because I don't think Fowler's doing it. Obviously, Grubner, I don't think, is qualified to do it. So, I mean, and you see the results of that.
Right.
Very, very clearly.
They're an amateurish organization.
I mean, if you look just up and down, like just across the board, like it seems like a lot of people complain about the ticketing and stuff like that. Marketing's been a major concern of mine for a long time. And this is not even Fowler. I mean, this is predates them when they were putting out advertisements without even a face on the advertisement, which is a major, major problem. But if you look at other aspects of it, too,
Real quick on that. That was something you always harped on Garfinkel for. Isn't what they're doing now worse, where they run 30-second TV spots that make it actually lists and has text on the screen of what you should be focusing on, and it's like beer, food, ballpark experience. And then it doesn't even mention, like, at least the headless player is a focus on actual baseball, right? But the new ads they don't even have baseball as like a thing that you should be excited for.
Like I said, I'm not saying that the people now are good, or that the people in the past. I mean, I guess. So first of all, I haven't seen those ads. Obviously, I have the MLB package on the internet, and they cut out commercials, so I've never gotten to see the commercials.
You live
this year.
In market. Where are you?
Now I live in Market. I've only been home. I mean, I haven't even been here less than a month, or actually exactly a month now. So I haven't had the opportunity to really to catch all these advertisements. And again, I'm not really. It's been a lot of unpacking and stuff. Excuse. By the way, did you catch the Miami Dolphins announcement this week?
Yes.
Our good buddy Garf introduced the new the new incredible policy where they're going to start suspending players for 4 games for kneeling for the national anthem. Doesn't even matter where you stand on that issue. I mean, I think you can recognize that obviously.
It could have come from ownership.
Obviously. He is ownership, though. That's actually part of the problem, is that now he actually has an ownership share.
They gave Garf a goddamn ownership share.
They gave Garf an ownership share in his most recent re-upping contract, yeah.
Good for Garf.
Absolutely. I can't believe he's able
imagine
to continue
to swindle.
Imagine
if we had someone here that negotiated contracts like Garf does for himself.
Absolutely. That'd be pretty nice for that person. But at the very least, I don't miss that. But anyways, I was saying marketing is obviously an issue. I mean, across the board, there are issues. So to have someone at the very top, even if it's someone that's old school that has a lot of old ideas that are bad, at least to point people in the right direction on some of them would be nice.
Yeah. Well, Kanye Padres, we're looking forward to your post getting posted. By the time this gets posted, it'll probably be somewhat commensurate with when your post goes live. So thank you for your submission, and hopefully we see some more stuff out of you on the Quintelligence.com, especially since Marver doesn't write anything. Writes literally nothing.
How many days?
It's been more than a year.
We're about to hit 400. We're very close to 400.
Yeah, it's a nice round number.
He could not possibly be more worthless. Christ, Friar. All right, Marver, we've got an hour 40. I think
we're getting good.
And Jeff proportions long. So.
Yeah, it is. So let's just, until next time, go Padres.
Go Padres.
Let's go Padres. Let's show them how we